if you just make it through 3 years, you've already pushed through 90% of the noise, you know? And yeah, there's some things that you can do to accelerate, but man, perseverance is such a key to success.
Welcome to Podcasting in Real Life, the Buzzcast show where we dive into the real life stories of podcasters in the middle of their podcasting journey. I am your host, as always, Travis Albritton, head of content at Buzzsprout. And you won't hear anyone famous on these podcast episodes. Instead, you'll hear everyday podcasters just like you share personal stories about how podcasting has impacted them and the things that they've learned along the way. And in today's conversation, I get to sit down with the host of Coffee with John, Caregiver Success, John Schober. And John's been in the podcasting game for a number of years. And so he brought a wealth of knowledge and experience launching multiple podcasts in that time span and how he makes small tweaks to each one depending on what he's trying to accomplish with each podcast. Now, some really tactical stuff that we get into, which I think is really great, especially if you have a business-oriented podcast, is how to use LinkedIn to connect with potential guests, specifically how to connect with people that are really out of reach for most communication methods. LinkedIn can be an incredible arbitrage if you are trying to get those C-suite, you know, VP, director-level guests for your podcast. And John dives very specifically into the exact strategy that he uses to get those kinds of people to say yes. And then also just in general, how to get your guests to quickly say, yes, I want to do your podcast. Because if you've never met them before, if they don't know who you are, then you have to very quickly establish trust and help them understand what is in it for them. So we dive into some really great tactical things to help you acquire guests, to help you grow your podcast, and also just to have a long-term mindset. But for John, his whole podcast journey began when he lost his job. And a friend of his encouraged him to have a cup of coffee with at least 100 people.
It was about 2011. I'd been with Dell Computers for about 15 years. So I'm a corporate IT guy. And, you know, there came the day where I got the dreaded email, you know, the Thursday afternoon email that says, you need to meet at office such and such. And if you're in a big corporation, you kind of know what that email looks like. So bottom line, the colloquialism is I was promoted to the industry.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, promoted to the industry. So after 15 years, they did offer me a nice severance package. It wasn't a golden parachute, but it was, you know, it was maybe like silver or bronze. So anyway, I found myself, you know, what do I want to do? So I guess at the time I was 40 years old, married, 7 kids, you know, had sort of success in the corporate world. I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan, so I had no debt, all that kind of stuff. So really kind of took this journey, what do I want to do? And so the genesis of the podcasting story, probably like many, is it was sort of this personal discovery journey. And at the time, I was looking at things like coaching and speaking and you know, leadership development, these types of things, and consulting. And, you know, I was kind of bummed because, you know, I thought I was a pretty smart guy. I thought I was pretty, you know, pretty intelligent. I'd had this successful career. You know, everyone wanted my advice and help. And yet here I am, kind of a single shingle kind of guy, and my phone's not ringing, right? You know, no one's calling me. No one's asking me to consult for them or coach them or anything else. And so I was just, you know, starting to get a little hungry. No money's coming in. And I went and I had lunch with one of my friends. And here's really, I think, an important part. Wherever you are in the journey is make sure that you sort of wrap yourself around some trusted friends and some good people. Cause this journey is very much, you know, it can be a very lonely journey. There's a lot of things going on, not just the podcaster, but if you're making sort of a breakout from the normal career, which is a fairly common story, you're weird. You're not normal. And so go find a couple of people that are weird like you. So I had lunch, I had coffee with one of my friends, and I was, you know, kind of crying my beer type of a thing. You know, I don't have any money. And he said, John, he said, how many new people have you met? And I said, well, what do you mean? I haven't met any new people. And he kind of laughed at me and he said, well, there's your problem. You know, you haven't met anybody. And again, I had taken for granted that corporate world, that corporate infrastructure, all those things kind of built in. I had taken all of that for granted. And now I had to, you know, we call it business development. You know, I thought network marketing, nothing against multi-level marketing, but I thought that's all that networking was. So I really took on a passion of meeting people. And so he challenged me. He said, John, you need to go have 100 cups of coffee with 100 different people, you know, over the course of the next 6 months or whatever it was. So out of that, I did it. I took it on. And I mean, I was just having coffee with everyone and meeting a lot of people. And from that sort of became my first podcast, which was Coffee with John. So I'm having these neat conversations. Hey, let's go record this. I was a little bit of a tech geek, so I enjoyed, you know, getting the microphone and the software and all this stuff. And so out of that started Coffee with John. And that was kind of the first, my first podcast. And over the course, probably 2014 to 2017, that morphed into two or three different things. The Coffee with John kind of stayed as an interview format. Then I had another podcast that was called The Davy Crockett Show. And I'm a direct descendant of Davy Crockett of Alamo fame. And so I had this show and it was kind of a political commentary show. And it was sort of like, you know, what would Davy Crockett and William Travis have to say about current events? And that was a lot of fun. Although I did learn that I really, as much as I enjoy that genre, that talk show genre, I enjoy consuming it. I don't enjoy creating that content. And I think that's sort of another kind of note on your podcast journey. You may have a couple of steps along the way before you find, you know, what are you passionate about? You know, again, the things that you may enjoy versus what do you enjoy listening to versus enjoying actually doing. And then the third podcast was kind of a host, co-host type of a podcast, the John and Joe Show. And that one, I think we ran for a couple of seasons. It was a little bit more sort of topical. And so those are sort of my three personal journey stories of podcasting. And then late last year, late 2018, my day job, I'm the operations director of a healthcare technology company. And as part of our marketing effort, we wanted to create a podcast to kind of service healthcare tech people, professional caregivers. And so out of that, we relaunched Coffee with John, but it very much now has a focus in caregivers and the healthcare industry.
That is quite the summary there, John. That's quite the portfolio. So I'm really fascinated in kind of when you first started the first podcast, you're like, all right, I'm going to have 100 cups of coffee with people and I'm going to record these conversations. Where people, because back in 2014, that's like before podcasting became like a well-known medium, right?
Very much.
Yeah. So still very much in its infancy. Like, sure, there are some diehard devoted fans and listeners, but it wasn't nearly as widespread as it is now. So what reactions did you get from people? You're like, hey, I would love to record this for my podcast, or even the feedback that people would get if you asked to record their conversation. I'm just really curious.
You know, if you have I do think sort of the interview format podcast is one of the easiest things to do, because if you're just sitting and everyone likes to talk about themselves. And so, you know, I mean, I got fairly significant people, at least sort of in my world. And it's like, you know, I want to hear what you have to say. Tell me what your thoughts are on this subject. Tell me what keeps you up at night. And really what I was amazed with is, yeah, I don't think anybody turned me down. You know, back then the technology, I mean, I kept it pretty simple. You know, the guest would just, you know, I had my iPhone connected to my computer. So it was a very simple technology setup. So for my guest, you know, they were only kind of committing, you know, 30 minutes, and it was just a 30-minute phone call to talk about themselves and to talk about the things that they were passionate about. And that's really when I had sort of this epiphany that the best way to serve people is to figure out what they want. I mean, I know that's kind of, you know, silly, but that's all I was doing is I was just asking them, what do you want? What do you, you know, what are you passionate about? What keeps you up at night? And they were very, very grateful, and they continue to be you know, extremely generous. Now that I'm reaching out to more, you know, sort of corporate players, everyone is very generous about telling their story.
Yeah, I think being able to interview people is one of the greatest arbitrages in the last, I don't know, several decades. If you can reach people that you have no business talking to simply because you have a podcast, which is just mind-blowing.
It is absolutely. And, you know, we may talk into, you know, how to monetize the podcast. And in terms of like business development, a podcast is like, man, it is the Trojan horse to do business development. I mean, I literally am talking to the VP of AT&T to interview her on my podcast. She shouldn't be talking to me about anything. And you know, so, you know, it's just so great to be able to talk to people and get into places that you could never get in before. And again, keep it authentic, keep it honest. I'm not talking about being, you know, malicious or deceptive or anything, but you know, just be open and generous with your time, and people will be open and generous with their time.
Absolutely. Now, I wonder, when you first started doing your first Coffee with John, first iteration of Coffee with John, there was an adjustment period of kind of feeling out like what it was going to be like and kind of figuring out the flow and the format and how you're going to mix it and things like that. What were some of the kind of the early obstacles that you had to overcome as you were kind of growing as a podcaster?
You know, I think the earliest obstacles, those first things, a lot of them were, you know, personal friends. So I had kind of a relationship with them. So it was really sort of two friends talking. And probably sort of the biggest thing that I had to learn out of that is, while I found that interesting and helpful, insightful, really the audience, it was very hard to attract an audience because I was just sort of all over, you know, random thoughts with, you know, Coffee with John and random people was sort of the theme. And probably that was the most significant hurdle that I had to go through. And I think, you know, I think people sort of evolve in who, what their focus is, who their avatar is. But for me, it was kind of going through that, realizing that if I want someone to actually listen to me, I need to be, you know, thinking more about my audience and what's important to them as opposed to what I think is important. And then that really kind of trimmed the fat on, you know, people that may be really good. I would like to talk to them, but they're not going to be of value and of service to the audience that I'm trying to serve and bring value to.
Yeah, I think that focus is so key because it's easy as a creator, you just want to just create what you want, you know, free reign. Nobody's right. Telling me what to do. This is my podcast. But you do have to be, you know, thoughtful with, okay, this person is committed to listening to 30 minutes of me talking to somebody. I need to honor that and respect that commitment by giving them what they expect. Because I know there have been people that I want to interview, but until I can find some kind of angle or conversation that we can have that I feel great about offering to my audience, it just kind of sits on the back burner. Like, this would be a fantastic person to interview at some point in the future, but until I can figure out how to actually mesh their expertise with what I'm talking about on my podcast, it would be not the best decision. Not great. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me give you a real world example because I had that person. Mm-hmm. You know, so this guy, you know, he's a big name, you know, coach and author and that kind of stuff. And I've been in his coaching program, and I really wanted him to come on my show. His genre, his thing is really career coaching and career advice. And I intentionally held off on having him, even though he's extremely generous. I knew that if I asked him, he would absolutely say yes. And, you know, I'm sure he'll put me on his blog and all that kind of stuff. But I intentionally held back on asking him because I wanted to find a way to tie in his expertise into my audience. So until I was clear on how he could bring value to my audience, I did not ask him. Now, I did come to a point where I got some clarity. I asked him, he came on, and it was a great episode.
Yeah, no, I think that's very wise advice. Not jumping the gun, making sure that when you do go in for the ask, that you're going to be able to follow through and that it's going to be a fantastic fit. Now, how do you reach out to people that you've never spoken to before to ask them to come on your podcast. So I think that's a hurdle that a lot of podcasters feel is kind of daunting is, okay, I want to reach out to this person that I actually have never met before and they don't even know that I exist. How do I bridge the gap between, you know, first talking to them actually agreeing to come on the podcast? What are some things that you do to try and create that relationship quickly?
You know, for me, my secret sauce is LinkedIn. I connect with a ton of people on LinkedIn. And again, my focus is healthcare tech innovators and professional caregivers. And so I am proactively reaching out to people that I want to connect with. And I use LinkedIn to do this. And I don't know, you know, maybe some of you are familiar, but the way the whole LinkedIn process works is you ask someone to connect with you. They accept the connection, and then you can start a conversation with them. And so, you know, I will intentionally reach out. In fact, I have about 100 people that are on my list, and I've intentionally connected with them. You know, I told them I'm a podcaster, you know, said some things I was interested, that I'm interested in about what they do, connect with them, and then I follow up and ask them to come on to the podcast. And I mean, the acceptance rate with that method, I mean, it really is probably about 90% acceptance rate. It may be a closer to 100. There are some big Fortune 10, you know, executives that I've reached out to, and I'm not going to give up on them yet, but recognizing that those guys actually have, you know, PR and marketing people that they have to go through. And while the people that I'm asking to interview, they've been very receptive to me, they have certain hurdles that some of the smaller guys, some of the independent guys don't have. But the bottom line is I reach out to people on LinkedIn, I have an authentic conversation with them, and then I ask them to be a guest on the show.
Now, is there anything in particular that you talk about when you're reaching out to them? Because I imagine that the process you use LinkedIn for would be similar to if you got a hold of somebody's personal or professional email address or something like that. You find some source of contact information and you're like, this is my first kind of interaction with them, the first handshake, you know. Yeah. So in addition to just saying like, hey, like I'm interested in learning about you and kind of this aspect of your professional expertise, like what are some other things that you do to kind of make yourself more approachable and more attractive as a connection for them?
Yeah, that's a really great question. One, I very much intentionally sort of had my website up and running. You know, my website might not be the greatest, but I think it's a professional looking sort of solid website. So the first part is I kind of made sure that my party was ready, that I had, you know, the house was clean, you know, the dishes were picked, were washed, all that kind of stuff before I started kind of inviting people to come over for dinner. So that was sort of step number one. Step number two, and this is probably more my style, and other people may have different styles, but I'm a pretty direct kind of approach person. So I tend to kind of directly ask them. Now, that's not the first thing, but you know, it really is something. This is what I'm interested in. This is what I'm doing. I would love to have a conversation with you. Is this something that you're interested in? So I do kind of keep, you know, call it executive speak, where, you know, I don't think I'm rude or impolite, but I do kind of, you know, I don't beat around the bush. I do go in, hey, I'm going to ask you, there is an ask for an interview coming pretty soon. And my style kind of plays to that. I think other people may have other styles and approaches in their communication that may work for them, but that's what I do.
I think that those are certainly great points. And that would definitely be reflected in what I teach people as well. You know, especially if you're reaching out to somebody that's kind of quote unquote above your pay grade, you know, you want to be respectful of their time and the amount of time that it takes for them to actually consume what you're telling them. And if you give them a 6-paragraph story about who you are and why you're the greatest thing ever, like they're not getting to the part where they actually reach the ask, you know?
Yeah.
So just being upfront and being like, hey, you know, give them some context. This is how I know about you. This is why I love what you're doing. You know, so they kind of know, all right, this person isn't just spamming me. And then say, I would love to interview you for my podcast and talk about these things. Are you interested? Right. And just coming straight out with it.
there's an old joke. Everyone's favorite radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me?
Yep.
And that's what they want to know. And maybe this is 15 years of Dell and kind of learning executive speak and that kind of stuff. They want to know real quick what's in it for them. And that's really all they care about. What's in it for them? And what's this going to cost in terms of time and money? And from that point, they can make a decision pretty quickly on whether or not it makes sense for them. So, you know, this is a common theme. It's always about your audience, whether your audience, whether we're talking about your podcast audience or we're talking about your guest audience. The important thing is no one cares about you. You've got to care about them and you've got to keep your audience, you know, front and center. And again, I'm not talking about being disingenuous or dishonest. I'm talking about if you're going to be successful in this industry, in this business, you have to have a heart of a servant. That's got to come. It's got to be real. People will absolutely sniff out the fakes. And you know, you won't be able to maintain, if you're just kind of interested in what you can get out of the deal.
Yeah. And you'll just be much less successful in general. If everything that you do is not necessarily blatantly self-seeking, but it's not hard to figure out that this is really just a me-centered endeavor.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Self-interest is okay. Selfish interest is not okay.
Yeah, definitely. So as you're kind of onboarding your guests onto the podcast, what are some of the things that you do leading up to the interview? Like what kinds of emails, messages, correspondence do you send to kind of prepare them mentally? Do you send them questions ahead of time or just give them an idea of what to expect? And then what's your process after the interview is over to follow up with them, to encourage them, to maintain the connection? Like, what does that whole lifespan look like, the whole lifespan of a guest on your podcast?
So let me answer that in a couple of different ways. One, let me kind of talk about the guests that I'm proactively reaching out to versus some of the ones that that reach out to me. So I'm going to start with the guys that I'm proactively reaching to them. So for them, I've already qualified them. I already want them on my show. So again, we go through this handshake. Do you want to come on the show? Yes, I do. Then at that point, the tools that I use Calendly for them to book the interview. I use Zoom for the actual podcast. Now I double record it with Zencastr. I think some of your audience are familiar with that. I won't go into have a deep dive on why, but I use Zencastr to kind of do the interview itself. And in terms of kind of the way that I prep them, you know, I tell them this is going to be a conversational interview. You know, the target audience is these kinds of people. And then the only sort of pre-canned question that I give, and I'm going to even ask this to you at some point during the interview. I'll turn into the interviewer. But the question that I always ask is, what keeps you up at night? And so I kind of tell them that that'll be the final question that I ask. And then when they come on the podcast, usually takes about 5 or 10 minutes to kind of make sure all the technical stuff is working, that their Zoom is working and, you know, all that kind of stuff. For the most part, I actually record direct to tape. So I have all of my bumper music and everything kind of pre-canned. I think I have I've got a cart player. So a cart is if you load pre-canned music, intros, pre-recorded stuff, you can kind of push a button and it plays those carts. So I've got that loaded on my iPad. We just start the interview. There's a quick intro, some bumper music, some pre-recorded content, and then we do the actual interview. I record that all live to tape. And so when I'm done, my post-production is actually pretty minimal post-production. I use Audition for the post-production, but it's very minimal, little tweaking on the audio, a little cutting out some gaps, and then the audio part is done. And then the way that I do, I try to batch the entire season. So I have 12 episodes in a season, and I try to have all of those things recorded, which for me, this was actually sort of the big thing. It's easier for me to sort of batch everything together. You know, I can record, 12 interviews in the course of a month and kind of have that done. And then the marketing effort, the dripping, the managing, the Facebook, all that kind of stuff, I can sort of do that when I'm not in the heat of production. So I will batch up an entire season. And then the final things I do is I send the episodes for transcription. So I have the episodes fully transcribed. And then on my website, I can't say template. Everything that you're doing, have a template. Yeah, template for your email, a template for your show program, a template for your website. I've got a template for every episode on my website. I just plug the content in. And really, my post-production work is very, very minimal. The only thing that I do differently with people that maybe reach out to me proactively is I will usually have kind of a step in there where what I call a virtual cup of coffee. So that's my, I'm going to meet with someone new, and I will usually have, that virtual cup of coffee, make sure that I understand who they are, whether or not they'll be a good match for the audience. Have that kind of intro, and if it makes sense for me to extend an invitation, then I'll extend the invitation at that point.
That was very exhaustive. Thank you. No, that was great. lots of practical takeaways there. I too am a huge believer in templates. I love templates. Every email I send is something that's saved somewhere, and I just, all right, insert name, insert link, and then send it off. So I'm not, again, retyping this whole thing every time.
Yeah, maybe this is my background as a system administrator. We're really pretty lazy people, and I don't actually want to do the work. So, I do the work one time and just let it run.
Well, what's great about templates, too, is it just makes your job so much easier, right? Because the amount of brain power you have to actually exert to create an episode and everything goes with it goes down dramatically, because it's like, okay, I just have this checklist of things that I just knock it out, right?
Exactly.
And the easier you can make the job of putting out new episodes, the more likely you are to continue to do it, which means you'll actually continue
have
podcasting.
Success.
Yeah, you'll find success and reach all of your goals. And so that's why it's not like a philosophical, distaste for doing everything from scratch. It's just very practical. I know myself. I know if I make it harder than it has to be, I'm just creating additional barriers that might come back to haunt me later and keep me from continuing to do something I really enjoy.
Absolutely.
So I want to circle back a little bit, because I only knew about two of these podcasts before we jumped on. I didn't know you had four in total, unless you're hiding some and you actually have more than four.
No, I think four is the total.
So I'm interested, what was unique about each one, not in the sense of the topic or the approach, but what were some things that you experimented with in between podcasts as you kind of gradually found your style and how you like to edit and the flow and the format that you like to use for your podcast? What things did you pick up along the way that have kind of culminated in how you do podcasting now?
I think it kind of, there's two things. So, two of the podcasts were sort of a co-host type of a format. And I sort of realized that that's not a good fit for me. That's very hard for me to do a co-host show, because that means now I've got, not only do I have to coordinate with a guest, or if I'm going to do a guest, but now the two of us have to coordinate our schedules. Especially back a couple of years ago, if you wanted to do something like that, you had to physically be at the same location. I think there's some technology that can make that a little bit easier, to where the co-host can be at different locations. But certainly at the time, it meant coordinate schedule, coordinate location. It was just too much overhead. And again, this was not my, I had a real job. I had other things that I needed to do. And so for me, that was sort of the biggest lesson that I learned on what to do and not to do. And so for me, a co-hosted show just doesn't work. The second thing, kind of learned through the Coffee with John episodes, really does kind of go back to, I think some of the things are what I just did. Instead of saying and aw just now, I paused, I collected my thoughts. So I think it's okay. You don't have to feel like you're a professional speaker to get started. But over time, you will get better. You'll get those ums and the ahs and the other things kind of out of your vocabulary. So there's some practical things that happen. And I think the second thing in the interview was just how to actually have an interview with someone that's compelling, and what kind of homework that I needed to do in advance of the interview to be able to bring something again that would be of interest to my audience. And it wasn't just me having a random conversation with someone. So those are the kind of the takeaways on the previous iterations of my podcasts.
So I want to ask a follow-up question because I'm really curious.
I'm scared.
No. How much homework do you do on your guests before you have them on? So talking about your current iteration of your podcast, how much of your questions are prepared beyond the one that you ask on every single episode? How much of those are prepared beforehand? Do you write specific questions? Are they more topical or themed? Like, I want to have a conversation around this kind of idea versus I want to make sure to ask this question specifically. And then how much leeway do you give yourself when you're in the middle of the interview if you want to follow a thread a little bit and say, oh, there's some really good stuff here. I want to continue to kind of harp on this and deviate from my plan. Like, yeah. How do you manage that?
That's a good question. And here's something that if you're scared about asking for that person that's above your pay grade, what I have found is those are actually the easiest people to interview. So again, going back to, I'm a pretty lazy person. I don't like doing a lot of work. And at first it was like, well, I need to interview my friends and other stuff, but those people are not really prepared to do an interview. So one of the takeaways is actually, if you are doing an interview type of a show, working with people that are out there speaking and thought leaders is easier. With that said, what I do is I will go onto their webpage. I will look at several of their articles. If they have a podcast, I'll either listen to their podcast or listen to where they've been guests. I actually just received a book the other day from someone who is proactively reaching out to me. He sent me his book, and so I've kind of thumbed through his book. So I will probably put from start to finish, by the time I reach out to someone, ask them for the interview, and then kind of pre-work, I'll probably put about an hour of prep time. And it's not so much that I'm looking for questions. I'm not a guy that writes down, here's the 10 questions. That's not my style. But what I'm trying to pick up on is, what's their style? What's their personality? What's their passion? Trying to understand kind of them a little bit. And it takes me about an hour of research. And again, it's actually the more prominent people that you interview, the easier that is, because they are intentionally trying to get their stuff out there. They have blogs, they have podcasts, they have all the stuff. So they've made it very easy for you. And the other thing is, I will always ask them, I'll say, do you have a press kit? Do you have a bio? And probably about half of the people that I interview have some sort of a media kit or a press kit. And again, I'm trying to, what I'm bringing to my audience is not, I'm this great researcher and I have found new information that no one else knows. That's not the value that I bring to my audience. The value that I bring to my audience is, I understand the pain that you have. I've got some people over here that can speak to that pain, and I'm going to let them have a conversation with you. And so, I focus on, that's what I'm trying to do. There are other people that are intentionally trying to be thought leaders and trying to create new ideas. And my take to here is, be who you are. If that's who you are, then do a podcast like that. I'm not that guy. I am a connector, introducer. That's my strength.
Well, I think that's very self-aware of you to kind of recognize your strengths and weaknesses.
Absolutely.
Because we can, it's certainly very easy to envision ourselves as being the next so-and-so, or like, man, I really aspire to be able to have interviews like Larry King. Like, I want to be just like Larry King. But if that's just not you, then you're kind of setting yourself up for failure a little bit by really trying to force yourself into doing it a certain kind of way, instead of thinking about, what approach am I intentionally trying to take to help my audience, to provide value to my listeners, and also just to be true to what I do best, and allowing this podcast to kind of be a window into who I am.
Right. Podcasters in real life, this is really, I think, the key if you're going to have success is do that introspection. I think the best podcasters, they do know who they are. And so for people that are maybe in the beginning stages of their podcast, take that time to have the introspection. Sure, copy other people. There's nothing, you know, that's the greatest form of flattery is copying somebody else. If it fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, try something on and be comfortable with allowing yourself to go through that process so you can have your own self-awareness to see who you are. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to make your podcast valuable is what you bring, your unique perspective, your unique value. So don't run from that. In fact, I would even say press in to that introspection.
Yeah, and it's a learning curve. It doesn't happen all at once. It's hard to go from talking to just people in regular life to sitting in front of a microphone and sounding natural, sounding like yourself. That takes time to kind of figure out, okay, what are those mental hurdles? What are the things that I'm doing unconsciously that, you know, are kind of keeping me from opening all the way up? And I even encourage podcasters, like, the greatest thing about when you first start your podcast is that nobody is listening. And so you can literally,
true.
You can just experiment, you can try things, you can go in totally new directions, you can try different styles, different kinds of episodes. And really, you know, instead of the first year thinking, how am I going to be the next breakout podcast? Think more in terms of like, let me figure out what kind of podcast I would want to do for the next 10 to 20 years. And if I can figure that out in this 1 year, that's going to be a fantastic investment in the long-term success of either this podcast or my next podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs to be thinking how to become a 20-year overnight success.
Yeah. And there's so many stories of that where somebody comes on the scene and you're like, wow, where'd they come from? And then you realize, oh, well, they've been, you know, actors, for instance, a lot of actors will just kind of come out of nowhere. And then you actually read into their bio and it's like, oh, they've actually been auditioning for like 8 years and kept getting turned down because they weren't this or that, or they weren't tall enough or weren't handsome enough or whatever. And then they land one role and then the rest is history, right? So just continuing,
absolutely.
Just being available, being able to step up to take, you know, additional at-bats, just giving yourself more opportunities to break through. You know, if you can persevere and be invested in it for the long run, you're going to outlast everyone else. And so eventually it's just a matter of time. If you've, you know, done your homework on yourself and know that, okay, this is the best that I have to offer, eventually the things that you're trying to do will happen.
Yeah, perseverance is such the key. I mean, it's cliche, but it's so true. Just if you just make it through 3 years, you've already pushed through 90% of the noise, you know? And yeah, there's some things that you can do to accelerate, but man, perseverance is such a key to success in this kind of industry. And I think success in life, whatever you're trying to do, just persevere. There are going to be so many people that either for negative reasons or they do legitimately, they find something else. They will change path over the course of a few years and they're no longer a barrier there. So just keep pushing through, keep reinventing yourself.
So looking back on kind of your whole quote unquote podcasting career, going back 5 years.
Yes.
Or
my 5 year podcasting career.
Yes. Your lifespan as a podcaster. You know, thinking back, what are some things that have happened over the last several years that you can directly attribute to podcasting that would not have happened otherwise, that have absolutely nothing to do with the podcast itself?
Oh, I mean, for me, I have met people, I've been introduced to people, you know, both in terms of like personal friends type connections that I would have never met or connected with had I not been doing this kind of work. And certainly on a professional perspective, on a business development perspective, you know, there have been business opportunities that I would have never had I not been doing podcasts. So for me, the biggest value is who I've met, who I've been able to, you know, connect with, rub shoulders with, you know, learn from, all of that kind of stuff. That to me is the thing that kind of keeps me going. I'm a people guy. And so that's continues to motivate me. And without question, I've met people that I would have never had the opportunity to connect with, otherwise.
Yeah, I definitely second that. Like, I think about some of the people I've been able to connect with simply because I had a podcast, and the personal relationships, professional relationships, all of the above. It's just really cool that it gives you an additional opportunity to make connections in ways that you never really would have, because you either don't swim in exactly the same circles, or you live in different parts of the world, or, you know, whatever it is, that podcasting opens so many really cool doors for those connections. And then also, you know, some of those connections lead to other things that wouldn't have happened if you didn't have a podcast. You know, like, I know people that changed careers because they had a podcast and then made a connection. And I might be speaking about myself here, but yeah, like, I work at Buzzsprout because I made a connection through podcasting. And
absolutely,
you know, I wasn't necessarily looking to go professional podcaster, but it just kind of happens. But that wouldn't have worked out that way if I hadn't been putting in the work, making the connections, and then just seeing what kind of doors opened up from there.
Yeah. And let me go back to one of the things we talked about early on in this episode was just, you know, if you're listening to this show, you're motivated, you're going through change, you're trying to be not normal, right? You're weird. And again, the hardest thing is to find that tribe, find those people that are going to kind of hold you up and be there, because most people aren't like you. Most people aren't doing the researching and digging and thinking about entrepreneurism, you know, whatever that is, you're outside of that. And so this is a great way to find those other people that are going to come on that you can have those real cups of coffee with, that will be that tribe, that will be the, you know, birds of a feather flock together type of a deal. So that all of a sudden now, yeah, all of my friends, this, you know, there comes that point where you're like, okay, in my circle, I'm actually normal. in my circle, which is really, you know, kind of fun and interesting. Then you have to find a whole nother circle.
Yeah. You're not weird anymore. And then you're like, oh, wait, I have to find more weird people.
I got to go be weird now.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to kind of wrap up here. Just a reminder to surround yourself with people that can support you and stick with you and encourage you, because podcasting is a lonely sport at times. It can be really easy to get kind of in your own headspace and psych yourself out of, you know, continuing or persevering or working through obstacles. And John, I just really appreciate everything that you shared on the podcast, both personally and the things that you've learned. I know that anyone listening would really benefit from this. But I love to end our interviews on a fun note. So if you had a time machine that could go back in time to the day before you started your first podcast episode, and you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would you say to yourself?
Get started earlier. That would be my advice. Get started earlier, because again, the opportunities that it's opened up, the people that I've met, you know, all of those head games, all of those fears, all of those, you know, things that I worried about, none of that manifested. I definitely don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the, you will learn the technology details. Don't go out there, oh, I got to be new and noteworthy in iTunes on my first, you know, my first. Don't do that. Okay. That will come. It will happen organically if it's supposed to happen. Take that pressure off of yourself. Just get started. And again, whether you're trying to bring unique thought to the world and that's your value, or whether you're doing something like me where you want to introduce other people to the world, go in there, get started, and, you know, don't wait and don't delay.
If you are a professional caregiver or healthcare technology innovator, make sure to check out Coffee with John Caregiver Success by visiting John's website, coffeewithjohn.com, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Do you wish that you could be featured on a future episode of Podcasting in Real Life here on Buzzcast? Well, you absolutely can. All you have to do is click on the link in the show notes to submit your application. And if you learned something new today, if you learned something new about how to acquire guests, about podcasting in general, I would love to hear what your takeaway was. If you have an iPhone, the best way to do that is to leave a review in Apple Podcasts. And if you don't have an iPhone, just jump over into our Buzzsprout podcast community on Facebook and let me know what you think about the podcast. Well, that is it for today. Thanks for listening. And as always, keep podcasting.